This past Wednesday night, we began a new study on the book of Proverbs, and Matthew is teaching that class, and he's doing an excellent job thus far. The book of Proverbs, as you know, is a book of wisdom. And this evening, I would like for us to consider, why is it that God gives us his wisdom? The other day, I was wanting to install another light fixture in the basement. I was wanting to start it at the wiring that was already there and take off from there and add another light. And so I called my brother Steve before tackling that job. I had done some things like that before, and I was pretty certain that I knew what I was doing. And I called him about some things, and he added in a piece of advice that was very good that I hadn't thought about with regard to the wiring of that. I was pretty certain about several of those things, and then he said, well, you know, you really need to do such and such with that wiring. And I thought, you know, that's a good point. What he was giving me was some wisdom based upon experience of having done that a lot in his life. And when we think of wisdom, we think, well, that's what comes from God. Wisdom is not just something that comes from God. Wisdom is common sense, practical advice that is going to help us out in a certain situation from someone who already knows about that situation. Because my brother Steve had wired, he can wire those things in his sleep. He's been down that road many times. He doesn't even have to think about it. He gave me that advice. God made us, and he knows that when we get in a particular situation that such and such is going to happen. That's just the way things happen. And so he's telling us ahead of time that such and such is going to happen. Now, we can either take that advice or we can ignore it. We can either adhere to it or we can say, well, that old man doesn't know what he's talking about. And we need to understand that God has given us a whole book called Proverbs, and really the Bible. It's wisdom. It's advice. God makes us. He knows how we work. He gives us the blueprint on how to act in certain situations. And I want our young people here this evening also to think about some things as well. Sometimes our parents are trying to give us some advice, and we say, well, they don't know what they're talking about. But we've been down that road. We've been in that very scenario that you're going into, and things are going to pretty much happen the same way as it happened when we were your age. And so we're just simply stating some common sense advice as to what is going to happen. Often wisdom is that which is advice to let us know that such and such is going to happen in this particular situation. And I'm glad Steve gave me that advice. And maybe you've been trying to do something like that. And we've got men here that, I mean, I could go to Dave for farming advice, and I could go to Michael, you know, for cabinet advice, or Brandon's a mechanic and things like that. These are men who are in and around this on a daily basis. They know more about things than I do. And I could talk with them, and they could say, well, you know, such and such is going to happen if you do this. And I can either listen to that or not. And so, why the Proverbs? Why study this? Why does God give us an entire book? Turn with me to 1 Kings chapter 3. Our scripture reading was in chapter 4, but turn back with me one chapter to 1 Kings chapter 3. In just a moment, we're going to read a text of scripture there. When you think about wisdom, as you're turning back there, Hollywood portrays wisdom as, you know, the wise man. He lives apart from the rest of society. You got to go up on top of the mountain, and he's up there cross-legged, and we're going to go up and get a bit of advice from this old sage. Or it might be someone who has exclusive knowledge, and he speaks in mysterious ways, and you go visit him. That's really not what we find in the Bible. In God's Word, all of us can be wise. All of us are supposed to be wise. It's not just for the aged. It's not just for a few people. It's not hard to understand. We don't have to climb some high mountain and go into a monastery and there's an old wise man in there. It's for all of us. And God does not express that in some mysterious philosophical language that it takes some key to interpret it. When we fear the Lord and we follow His Word, all of us here, young and old, this evening can be wise. In fact, wisdom is so important that the proverb says that wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. It is the most important thing in our life. Turn with me now to 1 Kings chapter 3. What do you pray for? What do I pray for when we get up each day? You know, a lot of prayers center around material things. They center around things of this life or material things. Do we ever get up and pray for wisdom? In 1 Kings chapter 3, beginning in verse 4, Solomon went to Gibeon to offer up a sacrifice to God. He had gone there to worship. And in the process of doing that, he offers up this prayer to God, and he's just become king. And he asks God if he could get help and wisdom in governing this large amount of people. Let's pick up the reading in verse 4. And the king went to Gibeon to sacrifice there, for that was the great high place. 1,000 burnt offerings did Solomon offer upon that altar. In Gibeon, Jehovah appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." Now you stop and think about that. You get an opportunity to ask for something, and God said he's going to give it to you. You think about maybe even many in the church. They're going to ask for material things. "Lord, can I have more money? Can I have more days to live? Can I have more life?" That would be the first thing off of somebody's lips. But that wasn't the case with Solomon. He wasn't thinking about money. He wasn't thinking about long life. He just simply wanted the wisdom to get up each day and make the right choices and help others make the right choices. Verse 6, Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David, my father, great loving kindness, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great loving kindness, that thou hast given him a son," that was him, Solomon, "to sit on his throne as it is this day. And now, O Jehovah my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father, and I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." In other words, I'm inexperienced. And so that's what he's going to pray for, experience and wisdom. Verse 8, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people that cannot be numbered, nor cannot be counted for a multitude. Give thy servant, therefore, an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this thy great people?" Out of all the things that he asked for, "I just want to have an understanding heart. So when I get up each day, I know what is right and wrong. I know the path that I need to take." I want all of our young people here this evening especially to think about this. When you get up each day, the important thing you need to think about is right and wrong choices. And when we're making wrong choices, we're going to reap the consequences of that. When we're making right choices, we're going to reap good things from that. That's more important than money and things and other kinds of things that young people think about. What is the right choice when I'm out on a date? What is the right choice when I'm posting something online? What is the right choice when I'm going to the movies or other kinds of things? When I'm about to open my mouth, what are the right words to say and the wrong words to say? We need to be praying along those lines, but often we forget about that. Look at verse 10. "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked for this thing. And God said unto him, because you have asked this thing, that is wisdom, and hast not asked for thyself long life." A lot of people will do that. They'll go into the hospital, some major problem. They're going for some surgery, and it's a shake-up. It's a wake-up moment, and they're praying, "Lord, give me more days to live." People are praying for longer life. "Neither hast thou asked for riches." A lot of people pray for that. More money, nicer car, bigger house, that type of thing. "You've not asked for long life. You've not asked for riches. Nor have you asked the life of thine enemies." A lot of people, they don't care anything about God, but all of a sudden they'll drop down on their knees and they'll pray to God if it has to do with getting back at somebody, getting back at their neighbor or getting back at their boss or something like that. These are actually three common things that people pray for: longer life, money, and getting back at their enemies. But Solomon was not concerned with those kinds of things. "You have asked," verse 11, "for understanding." It's a synonym for wisdom. "Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there has been none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall anyone arise after thee." And so the scripture reading that Matthew had, he's wiser than all the men of the east. And the scripture says there in chapter 4 that he has 3,000 Proverbs? Well, if you start reading in the book of Proverbs, there's just a few hundred there. We haven't even touched the hem of the garment. 3,000 Proverbs. We've just got one book that's got a few. And the scripture says that he had 1,005 songs. We have the Song of Solomon. We have one out of that 1,005. Chapter 4 is not just Solomon walking along and all of a sudden, poof, he's got wisdom. It's in answer to a prayer. And we need to be praying that same prayer. Wisdom. Turn with me now to Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. Listen very carefully. Look at the latter part of the verse. Yea, with all thy getting, get understanding. Well, I got to get clothes. And I got to get a car. And I got to get this. And I got to get that. Out of all the things that we need to be getting, the most important thing is wisdom from God to live each day the right way that we need to live. That's the principal thing. A proverb is a comparison where God is saying, this is like this. And he's trying to teach us, whether it's a short little pithy saying or even a longer sermon, he's trying to show us the right way in life. And we need to keep this important thing in our mind. Turn with me to Proverbs 2 and verse 6. That this is coming from God. He made us. He has experience. He knows what is going to happen in a particular situation. And as Matthew has already mentioned in the class, and it's a great observation, in Proverbs chapter 8, it says that God used wisdom when he created the universe. Listen, if he used wisdom to create the universe, that same wisdom can certainly be of a benefit for our daily life. But it comes from God. For Jehovah giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. We're not interested in what man says. We're not interested in what the world is saying. It's not just secular wisdom. We're interested in what God is saying. In fact, the world is not going to give us the advice that we need to give. There are several chapters right here at the beginning. In chapter 2, if you just drop down to verse 12, 13, 14, 15, verse 16, sexual immorality, here's a young person going in and having sexual immorality with somebody else. The world's not going to tell you to stay away from that. But wisdom, verse 16, chapter 2, 16, to deliver thee from the strange woman, this sexual immorality. If we're in a situation where we're bringing boys over and bringing girls over in the privacy of our house and mom and dad's not there, we're going to find ourselves in trouble. And the Proverbs talk about that. The Proverbs talk about how, well, the husband's gone. What is that? Well, there's nobody here to see us. There's nobody here to watch. And so here we go. And then we get into trouble. Oh, that old fuddy-duddy preacher, he doesn't know what he's talking about. It's coming from God. God already knows what's going to happen in that situation. He made us. He knows what's going to happen in that situation. And he gives us that wisdom ahead of time. Or the chapter on being lazy. Or the chapter 23 on alcohol. Or the chapter on going into debt. That those who are going to debt, the one who lends to them is like they're a slave to them. And we have problems with debt. And we have problems with alcohol and sexual immorality. And there's all kinds of proverbs on the tongue and how it gets us into trouble. There's all kinds of, we did this in our home study last quarter, the proverbs on disciplining our children. Why is all of that in there? It's to tell us ahead of time the advice that we are supposed to have in order to have a good life. It's for daily living. It's not just something that it's in the church building and that's what, you know, we talk about it down at the church building. It's so that we can go to school and so that we can go to work and we can have a right relationship all throughout our life. Solomon, in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. And then you turn over to chapter 10 and verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon. And then in our scripture reading this evening, he had 3,000 Proverbs. In the first 9 chapters, he's preparing us and he's giving us a definition. And we're going to look at just the first 6 verses this evening. He's giving us a definition. He's telling us the value of what this is. Why should we read them? Why should we open up our Bible and read the Proverbs? Why should we apply them in our lives? Beginning in chapter 10 and verse 1, there are several Proverbs all the way to the end. But the first 9 chapters, and especially the first 6 verses, is like a stating the definition and the purpose and where this all comes from. Chapter 8, it all comes from God. It's wisdom from God and so forth. What is the value of Proverbs? So this evening, we want to look at that a little bit. Now turn with me to chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, and let's read the text together. What I wanted to do this evening is spend time looking at these first 6 verses. Proverbs 1, verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the words of understanding, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion, that the wise man may hear and increase in learning, and that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsels, to understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. If you look at these first 6 verses, you're going to notice this part up here that I've highlighted in the purple color there. Notice there are 5 infinitives: to know, to discern, to receive, to give, and to understand. We're going to surround our lesson this evening with those 5 statements. Solomon is saying right here at the beginning of the book that I'm doing this to do this, to do this, to do this, to do this. Why is God giving us His Word? So that we can know something, to discern some things, to receive some things, to give, to understand. But we have to sit there and be humble enough to take it. I know that when I was younger, I didn't want to listen to Mom and Dad. I didn't want to listen to what the preacher was saying on occasion, and the preacher was my father. We just don't want to do that sometimes. We're hard-headed. Their pride comes in, and we don't want to listen, but we need to. God is telling us ahead of time. He's giving us counsel. This is what is going to happen in a particular situation. I'm telling you, you need to listen. And so, this evening then, I want us to consider these statements. Let's look at the first one this evening. To know. Let's go down through the text now and look at these 5 infinitives. To know, to discern, to receive, to give, and to understand. First of all, Solomon says that God wants to give us His wisdom to know some things. To know wisdom. The word chokmah means special skill. It's interesting that that word was used in the building of the tabernacle, where it talked about the men who came, and it said that they were filled with wisdom in order to build certain things and sew things together and put the wood together. That means skill. God is giving us His Word, so when we go into a particular situation, we have the skill to go through that situation and be in a right relationship with God and come out of it unscathed by the devil. We need skill. And somebody says, well, you know, I really want my kids to go to school. They need to learn a skill. And that's good. But are they going to the school of God's Word and learning the skill to know when to say the right thing at the right time and how to act when they're out with others and how to handle their money and what happens when they get around to alcohol and things like that? We have to have the skill to act the right way. And that's what wisdom is, and it's used all throughout the book. The second word used in verse 2, to know wisdom and instruction. It means not just instruction in the sense of teaching, but it means really to chasten, to be corrected, to be reproved, to be warned, to be held back. Look at the Proverbs that deal with going to the sexually immoral woman. Look at the Proverbs that deal with going to alcohol. It's warning us, this is what is going to happen. And it happens every day and people don't listen. And then we wring our hands and we say, oh, what went wrong? And I don't understand. And why did this happen to me? It's just carrying out what God told you would happen. But are we willing to be corrected? Are we willing to be warned? Do we want that kind of skill? We're talking about that which gets us to heaven, brethren. And that's more important. And I'm all in favor of education and higher education and things like that. But that's more important than any earthly skill that can be learned. The skills that it takes to get to heaven. Are we interested in that? Are we interested in that schooling? Many are not, but I hope that we are. You see, God is wanting us to have the skill to go through life and be disciplined and live the right way. Turn with me to Proverbs 3, verse 11 and 12. We've got to listen to it. We can't reject it. My son, despise not the chastening of Jehovah, neither be weary of his reproof. That's what that first word is there. To be reproved, to be warned. We can't despise it. When God tells us, we can't just reject it and dismiss it. And if my brother is giving me advice on electrical work, I can't just say, oh, you don't know what you're talking about, and go ahead and get hurt or cause a problem. I need to listen to that. And so don't despise that. Neither be weary of his reproof. For whom Jehovah loveth, he reproveth. That's why he's telling us these things. God loves us and he wants us to know what is right and wrong in life. Even as a father, the son in whom he delighted. God wants us to know what is right. And so we have an opportunity to be schooled and skilled in the Word of God. Let's consider this second one that is found back in Proverbs chapter 1 in verse 2. Not only to know some things, but also to discern the words of understanding. The word understanding in verse 2 literally means, the Hebrew word bana means to separate or distinguish. We have to know the difference between what is right and what is wrong. We have to know that when we go into a situation that there are words that are right and there are words that are wrong. We have to distinguish between the two. We have to be able to distinguish between good behavior and bad behavior. And that's not being taught in our society. It's not being taught at home. So where's that going to be taught? How do we know how to separate and know what is right and wrong? God's wisdom will tell us. This word is used a few times throughout the book of Proverbs. Turn with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. The reason we study God's Word is we know the difference. If you were going shopping, would you want to know the difference between something that is genuine and something that is counterfeit? Do you want to know the difference between what is genuine or what is fake? You want to know that. And so you get online and you do some study and you find out which one is the right one and which one is the wrong one. We have to know the difference. Not everything is equal. Not everything is made the same in life. And the devil comes in there and throws in something that looks like the real thing, but it's not. It's a counterfeit. So we have to be able to distinguish those things that differ. And things in life do differ. There are righteous things and there are ungodly things. And Paul prays, look at Philippians chapter 1. Look at his prayer for the Philippians, Philippians 1, 9. I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in all knowledge and discernment. Discerning, we have to discern. When we go into a situation, we have to know the difference between what is right and wrong. Verse 10, so that you may approve the things that are excellent. The margin of your Bible might say, distinguish the things that differ. Not everything's the same. So the young boy says, well, if you'll love me, you know, we can sleep together. And that's the same thing as what your mom and dad do when they're married. No, it's not. It's different. There's a difference. You see, and we have to be able to distinguish that, oh, it's all the same. No, it's not. That's what our world says. Well, you just get together and shack up. That's the same thing as marriage. No, it's not. It's different. But young people, we don't know the difference. We just, everything's the same. God is trying to show us what's different about these two scenarios. What's right and what's wrong. Oh, you can drink alcohol. That's like any drink. No, it's not. It's different. And it has some consequences, you see. We have to know the difference. And God is telling us that ahead of time. Some of us get into trouble. You know, I might get hurt doing some mechanic work, And then I'll go tell Brandon, and he'll say, well, you shouldn't have done that. Brandon knows how to stay away from that. I just think it's the same. I'm doing such and such. Well, it's the same. No, it's not. What I'm about to do is going to hurt myself. And so we go into things, and we don't learn the difference, and we come out hurt. God wants us to know the difference between what's true and what's counterfeit. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And so as we mature in life, we're supposed to be maturing spiritually. We're supposed to be growing in God's Word. We need to be full-grown mature who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern good and evil. God is wanting us to learn through His wisdom that there's a difference. There's a difference in some things. And so when we read the Proverbs, they teach us what is right and what is wrong. Come back to Proverbs. Now let's look at that third statement that is made there. First of all, to know some things. Number two, to discern some things. And number three, to receive some things. Solomon says that he's giving us God's Word so that we can... We're down in verse 3 now, to receive instruction in wise dealing, in righteousness and justice and equity. The Hebrew word sakal means to be circumspect, to be attentive. It's used over in chapter 21 and verse 16, if you want to turn over there. Chapter 21 and verse 16, the man that wandereth out of the way of understanding shall rest in the assembly of the dead. He's not circumspect. He's not watching carefully. And he wanders off and he finds himself in the assembly of the dead. So many situations today, people are not alert. They're not alert spiritually. And they're just going into a situation, and I'm just going to do what I feel is right and what I think and I feel, and they're not alert. And that's the very moment that the devil gets us. We need to have our eyes open. We need to be circumspect. And look at the word, this idea of circumspect. You see here at the beginning, it's almost the beginning of the word circle, circumspect, circle, around. We're looking around. We've got our eyes open. We're careful going into this. We're not just going into a situation and, well, whatever comes out the other end, you know, I'll worry about it then. No, we have our eyes open. We're attentive. We're not going to let the devil lull us. We're not asleep. Remember Peter, James, and John? Could you not watch for an hour? Jesus said, you're asleep. You know, they're, oh, I'm just sleepy. And then he said, watch, for the Spirit is... indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. And we get spiritually lethargic. And Paul says that we are to wake up. Turn with me to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. We need to be awake, and God is wanting to give us some wisdom so that we can stay awake. And when we go into a situation, we're not going to be fooled, and we're not going to be lulled into something that is wrong. Romans chapter 13 and verse 11, and this knowing the season that already it is time for you to awake out of sleep. He wasn't talking about physical sleep. He's talking about spiritual sleep. Salvation is nearer to us than when we first believed. The night is far spent. That he's not talking about last night when we went to bed. He's talking about the time in which we were not alert. Let that go. That's behind us. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. We can't just go every day just, well, you know, I'm just going to kind of live for the day. We have to wake up. There's a judgment day coming. The Lord's coming again, and we have to be circumspect, and we have to be alert. We can't just live every day and, well, I'll just come what may. We have to live according to God's Word and be alert. And so, verse 13, let us walk becomingly as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness and chambering and wantonness. That's your sexual immorality right there at the last. Not in strife and jealousy. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. We just get spiritually asleep and just, well, whatever I feel. And then Solomon says, so that we know what is right and just and fair and equitable. But we have to be circumspect. And so what is God wanting with these Proverbs? What is He wanting? God is wanting us to be wise. He's wanting us to be skilled. God is wanting us to know the difference when we get up each day. There's differences in the world. There are things that are right and there are things that are wrong. And God is wanting us to be careful how we walk. Have you ever been out maybe on a hike? Maybe out camping on a hike somewhere out in nature, and you've got to be careful where you walk. You're on a trail maybe, and you have to be careful with the rocks and things like that, or you'll slip and fall. Life is a journey. We are sojourning, and we have to be careful how we walk. And so in Ephesians chapter 5, if you'll turn with me there, that we need to redeem the time. I'm wondering how much time we waste. We're just not using it in the Lord's service. We're not using it to obey the gospel and be a faithful Christian. We've just got things of this life that we're doing and we're happy with that. Look carefully how you walk. Why? Because the devil is throwing the pitfalls in the way and the stumbling blocks. Look carefully how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And in verse 15, look carefully. The word carefully there means literally circumspectly. Walk by looking around is the literal translation. Because the devil is out there to get us. And so God is giving us His wisdom so that we can walk carefully and cautiously and circumspectly and stay out of the trouble. God's book of Proverbs and other things, and it's to keep us out of trouble. It's advice from someone who knows what is best for us. Oh, I don't want to hear that. I'm just going to trudge through and carry on and do what I want. Well, okay. But then we reap what we sow. And all the heartache and all the problems later, and where did it go wrong? We didn't follow God's word. And He's helping us ahead of time. He wants us there. He's crying. Wisdom is like a woman crying out. He's just begging us to listen. And let us do that. Many in the world won't, but let us listen. He's trying to help us to walk in life. Let's look at, back now at Proverbs chapter 1. Let's look at another one in the list. To know, to discern, to receive, and now look at it in Proverbs chapter 1, to give. God wants to give us some things. He stands ready and willing to give us some things. What is that? Well, He wants to give us, look at chapter, we're now down at verse 4, chapter 1, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. The word prudence here, the orma, literally means crafty, but in a good sense. Someone who really knows how to handle a particular situation. And the word discretion in verse 4, to give the young man discretion, it literally means to be able to devise a plan or a plot in a way in which I'm going to live right. Do you know, many people, they don't know up from down. They don't know what direction they're going. They have no plan. And they get out in certain situations and they don't know what they're going to do next. As a Christian, we know what's coming next. We know what we're going to do. We have that stepped out. But people, they just live for the moment. They just live for the moment. Well, you know, my friends wanted me to take a drink and I'll take a drink. Nothing's planned out. Nothing's purposed. And then they get themselves into trouble. God is giving us His word so that we have that planned out. When we get in such and such situation, we know what we're going to do. You see? And that way we avoid the devil. We avoid the things of the world, the evil things of this life. So, God is wanting to give us that plan of what to do when we get in a certain situation. He wants to give us His wisdom so that we can plan out a strategy for our life. And some people will plan out their education and they'll plan out, you know, their marriage and they got these kinds of things planned out. But they don't have spiritual things planned out. and their service to God. That's not planned out, you see. And how I'm going to handle myself when I go to school tomorrow. That's not planned out. And what how I act when I'm with my friends and that type of thing. God wants to give us that strategy. We just simply need to read it and listen to it and obey it. He wants to give knowledge. Look at verse 5, 4 and 5, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man discretion, to the wise man that may hear and increase in learning, that the man of understanding may attain unto sound counsels. The word knowledge literally means that which recognizes, to recognize truth and to recognize what is right and wrong. Learning, something that is received. Sound counsel literally means steering with a rope. The Hebrew word means to steer with a rope. He wants to give us steering and guidance and direction. We talk about guidance counselors in high school. Well, I'm going to send you to the guidance counselor. Well, that's great. But often when you get over there, it's not biblical advice. It's just some things that they're supposed to say. Here's your guidance counselor right here. Here's our guidance counselor. Here's our steering wheel right here. If we'll just take it. He's wanting to give us some steering. He's wanting to give us some direction and keep us from those problems that often come in life. Will you let him steer you? Will you let him guide you? We need to be teachable. We need to be steered and directed in life. And that's why the Proverbs, why spend a whole quarter on the Proverbs? It's just a bunch of little pithy sayings that are kind of interesting, you know, and some people have them on a plaque in their bathroom kind of a thing. It's God trying to guide us all the way through life. We've got to heed that instruction. Now, one last thing. Look at this in verse 6. There's one more thing that God is wanting to do. God is wanting us, He's wanting to give us His wisdom in a way that challenges our thinking. I want us to think about this for a little bit. He wants to give us His wisdom in a way that challenges our thinking. He's going to use a proverb, which might be a brief saying. He's going to use a figure, which might be a little bit enigmatic, where it takes some time to think about that. He's going to use the words of the wise, and he's going to use dark sayings, that which might have a difficult expression to it. And he's doing that so that we can use our mind and our intellect. Turn with me just one example. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 6. And verse 6, the famous, go to the ant, thou sluggard. And there are many of these in the book of Proverbs. God could just come out and say, don't be lazy, and just be done with it and move on. But God doesn't do that. God will, in the book of Proverbs, He will word it in a way to get us, we're supposed to be putting on our thinking caps. And so He's going to give us some things that challenge our intellect. And that's what verse 6 is about. He's going to use proverbs. He's going to use a figure. He's going to use the dark sayings of the wise men. Why? To get us to think. Look at this well-known, go to the ant, thou sluggard. Proverbs 6 and verse 6. He could just say, get up and get to work and quit being lazy. And that would be the end of it. But he doesn't do that. Look at what he says. Verse 6. Go to the ant, thou sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. You're supposed to go think. You're supposed to look at the ants and think. What are they doing? And you're supposed to put two and two together. And we're supposed to reason and conclude that these are busy people and we need to be busy and not be lazy. They have no chief, no overseer, no ruler, but they provide bread in the summer and gather her fruit in the harvest. How long wilt thou sleep, O sluggard? When wilt thou arise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep and a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep, so shall thy poverty come as a robber and thy want as an armed man. We're supposed to put two and two together. That if I'm just going to fold my hands and be this lazy person, then I'm going to have problems in my life. And I need to go out and be busy like that little ant running around, and I need to be productive. But how does God do that? He does it in a way that challenges our intellect. God could say something like, well, don't drink alcohol. He could say something like that. Turn with me to Proverbs 23, and that would be fine. He could just state it like that. But he chose this way, to challenge our intellect, to get us to put on our thinking cap, to get us to use our brain. Proverbs 23:29. Who has sorrow? Who has contention? Who has complaining? Who has wounds without cause? Who has redness of eyes? Those are rhetorical questions. You're supposed to be thinking, who is that? Oh yeah, that's the guy that drinks all the time, and I don't need to be doing that. You see. Verse 30. They that tarry long at wine, they go to seek out mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it sparkleth in the cup, when it goeth down smoothly. At last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Yes, God could have said, don't drink. But he puts it in this way to get us to think that, you know what? If I do that, I'm going to have all these problems, and then it's going to come back and bite me like a snake. And I'm going to have a lot of problems in my life. And he goes on to talk about that. So look for that as you go through the Proverbs. He's trying to challenge our intellect. God wants us to give, to have wisdom in a way that provokes our thought. I believe that God's wisdom is practical. It's for daily living. It's moral. It helps us to learn right and wrong. But listen, it's also intellectual in this sense. It challenges the intellect to put two and two together. You're supposed to read line one and then put it together with line two and put all that together and say, you know, I need to go out and live in such and such way. He's trying to guide us in that way. Well, the lesson is yours. Who needs wisdom? As you read Proverbs 1, the first thing that is mentioned there in verse 4 is so that God can give prudence to the simple. The word simple means inexperienced. It literally means someone who has an open heart. Listen, my heart is open to what people might tell me, and so therefore I'm susceptible. I'm susceptible to anything that comes along. And so it's translated simple. This is somebody who's going out and they'll just listen to anything that might come in. God is trying to take that person and give them some experience ahead of time. And that's what happens when we talk with family members and friends, and they say, you know, if you were to do such and such, that'll save you a lot of trouble. What are they trying to do? They're trying to increase our knowledge and our experience really quickly so that we don't have to actually learn that. And that's what God is doing. He's giving us that advantage over the rest of the world, as it were. And here we are inexperienced in some things. And here's a young person going out on a date, and they're inexperienced. They think they know everything, but they don't. And they're going out there and, oh, this is the way it's going to be and I'm in love and all of that. And already the proverb said, no, don't start doing this and don't start doing that. You're going to have a problem. Trying to raise our level of experience very quickly so that we can know and we won't be easily misled. You know, it's for the young people. It's for our young people here. I love all of our young people here. But we've got to be careful. As we get older, we get on up in those teenage years, that's when we're forming our lives most likely for the rest of our life, for good or for ill. And if we don't listen and we don't pay attention to what these things are saying, we're going to have a lot of heartache later in life. Years ago, and I guess it's still popular, there were small books that had proverbs in it for graduates. This is one, Proverbs for Graduates. I would like for all young people to have something like this. Graduate from high school, read something like this. Going off to college, read something like this. This is what our young people need. You know, there are great gifts that we can give to somebody when they graduate, but you can't give a young person anything greater than advice from God's Word. And it's for the young man, the Scripture says, the young man, the young woman. It's a time in your life where you're going to make some major decisions about whether or not you're going to serve God or not. And those proverbs are going to help you to do that. And then last of all, even if we have some experience, there are those here this evening, older members of the church that have lived for many years. And as we get older, we're supposed to increase in wisdom. But even us, even we, look at Proverbs 9 and verse 9. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be yet wiser. Even those who are older, those of us who are older, we can grow. We can always learn. We can always get better in the Word of God. So the bottom line is, it's for all of us. It's for all of us. God wants the young people and the old people alike to follow His wisdom. And He wants those who are inexperienced in a particular situation to know how to act. I don't know about you, but I'm glad somebody helps us. And if you're doing mechanic work or electric work or something else, and it might even be dangerous in nature, aren't we glad that somebody gave us a bit of advice that maybe saved our life? And God is giving us this sound advice that is going to save our lives spiritually so that we can be with Him for all eternity. We've got to open up and listen. And so, in this quarter, this upcoming quarter, and even if we're not actually in the class, our young people are in another class, we can read the Proverbs. They're easy to read. Keep them nearby. Keep them as your steering wheel. They will steer you in life. And as parents, we can talk with our children about some things that are mentioned in the Proverbs. We just want them to be steered right in life. The devil's trying to take them another way, and he's doing such a good job with so many. Our world is trying to take them off in another way. We can be steered the right way with God's wisdom. There may be someone here this evening that needs to begin that journey by obeying the gospel the right way. Or if you need to come back in some way, we would encourage you, step forward, repenting of your sins, be baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins. Or if someone is erring in some way and wants the prayers of the saints, we can certainly do that. Isn't it great that we hold in our hands that which is what Solomon prayed for? He prayed for something and we're the recipients of that. You ever thought about that? He prayed for something, God gave it to him, and then he wrote it down. And we get to have that in a book. We just need to open it up and put it into practice. Nothing wrong with putting one on the refrigerator. Nothing wrong with maybe putting it on a plaque in a bathroom. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it needs to be in our heart. And it needs to be God's steering wheel. He's going to guide us the right way. And we would encourage you along those lines. If you're subject in any way, why won't you come as we stand and sing?
Why do you wait?